بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسول الكريم أما بعد فقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد الفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون وقال تعالى فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون وقال تعالى كل قد علم صلاته وتسبيحه وقال تعالى وله أسلم من في السماوات والأرض وقال تعالى وإن من شيء إلا يسبح بحمده ولكن لا تفقهون تسبيحهم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. We were discussing yesterday that none of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is unmindful of salah. Each one has a certain form of salah and they are in their duty and responsibility all the time. So, aur is namaz se koi ghafil nahi. None is unmindful, unaware of the salah. Na darakh, na imarat, na parin, na hayawanat, na hasharat, na zameen, na pahar, na sitare, na asman, na arwah, na farishta. Not even the trees, not the buildings, the birds, the animals, the insects, the earth, the mountains, the celestial bodies, the skies, the souls, the angels. So each one is aware of the salat, each one has a particular posture of salat. And they are all engaged in this duty that has been set for them. Jaise ke namaz, darakh aur imarat ki qiyam hai. The salat of trees and buildings is qiyam. They are in a perpetual, continuous state of qiyam. They are fulfilling their responsibility and this is their salat. And they will remain like this all the time. Aur parind aur hayawanat ki ruku. And the salat of the birds and other animals are in ruku. The four-legged animals are in the state of ruku all the time. And they are fulfilling this posture of salat. Aur tamam hasharat ki sujood. And if you look at all the insects, they are in the sajda position. Their stomach is next to the ground. They are close to the ground. So they are in the sajda position all the time. Aur zameen aur pahar ki ku'ud. And the earth and the mountains are in a sitting position all the time. Aur sitaro aur asman ki harkat. Yeah, Qari Taib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has mentioned, he says, Allah's pleasure that the mountains have been given only one position of sitting. Can you imagine if the mountain decides to make ruku? Then there won't be khair for us if the mountain decides to make ruku. So it is in a perpetual state of ku'ud all the time. Or sitar or asman ki harkat. And the stars and the skies are in a perpetual state of movement. As we know that the celestial bodies are all the time in movement and they are never ever constant. They are moving. The whether we take the old philosophy of that this the sun rotates around the earth or the new philosophy that the earth rotates around the sun, but even the sun in itself is moving in its own orbit. There isn't a planet that is not moving. And mashallah, there are thousands of planets as we see with modern day. Previously when we grew up that we learned there were 9 planets etc. And now they are finding new and new planets every day with the telescopes that they have, the modern telescopes they have, and how massive our galaxy is, the Milky Way galaxy and the remaining galaxies, and you discuss the black hole and how massive it is. All this are in Allah Ta'ala's worship. Because many times person might ask the question, what is the need for all these different planets? They all have a purpose and they are all in Allah Ta'ala's ibadat. Aur hayawanat ki ruku aur tamam sitaron aur aasman ki harkat aur arwah aur farishton ki taharat aur tasbih. And the souls and the angels, one is their purity and they are in a perpetual state of tasbih. And we know that the skies are filled with malaika. It comes in the ahadith of Mubarakah that first to understand from the hadith point of view, how massive this universe is, that the first, the earth compared, it comes the hadith, compared to the first sky, in one riwayat it comes like a ring in a desert. And in one riwayat it comes like an egg in a desert. So we can't even understand that how massive the first sky is compared to the earth. And the first sky compared to the second sky is like a ring or an egg in a desert. And the second in comparison to the third. And the third in comparison to the fourth. The fourth in comparison to the fifth. The fifth in comparison to the sixth. The sixth in comparison to the seventh. So truly we might be uttering the words, but the comprehension of this is beyond our understanding. Because now we are discussing something that is to an extent limitless. It's not completely limitless. Everything besides Allah Ta'ala Zat has got limitations. But nevertheless, it's something that we cannot completely fathom and comprehend with our minds. How big Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has created. And then it comes in a hadith and mubarakah that the skies are filled, and in fact they are bulging. There is so much malaika on the skies that the sky is bulging with the weight of the malaika. And in fact a constant sound because of the bulging is coming of a creaking sound because of the weight of the malaika in the skies. So they're all involved in Allah Ta'ala's ibadat. That shows Allah don't require our ibadat. And therefore Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi's point that we being Ashraful Makhlukat is not on the basis of our ibadat. Because the malaika are engaged in constant ibadat. In tasbih, tahmid. They have got one aspect of salah, the tasbih, tahmid, etc. اور ارواح اور فرشتہ کی طہارت اور تسبیح اور کلمہ شہادت and in the total recitation of کلمہ شہادت اور تلاوت قرآن and recitation of قرآن کریم اور دعا and they are making دعا and all this is found in salat. So they have just got, even malaika, despite being such a sublime and pure creation, they have got one aspect of salat only. They either in a constant state of qiyam or in ruku, in sujood, in tasbih, in tilawat, etc. اور انسان کو خاص چیلہ سرکاری ہے وہ ساری خوبیات تھوڑے عرصے میں مرحمت فرمائی. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his special servant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in a short period of time, 5 minutes, has given the ibadat of all the remaining creation. So in fact, on this we should make the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a sublime and supreme ibadat like salah. That it is a conglomeration and the combination of the ibadat of the remaining makhlukat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That in 5 minutes Allah ta'ala has given us, so to say, the ibadat of the mountains and the trees, and has given us the ibadat of the animals. Allah has given us the ibadat of the birds, and Allah ta'ala has given us the ibadat of the insects, and the celestial bodies that are in constant motion. And our salat is also constant motion, from moving from one posture to the other, from the coma position to the sajda position, and the celestial bodies are also in a total state of rotation all the time. اور خلیفہ کر کے سب پر اس کو حکم دیا. And despite that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him the vicegerent over all of the remaining creations, and they've been all created for the benefit of mankind. And such a small figure, but such mind, such power Allah has put by his mind. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi mentioned, this Hazrat mentioned a few times, that a lioness told the cub that there is one creation he must be afraid of. So the cub couldn't understand that the lion has got such power and strength within it. Why should we be afraid of something? So then he wanted to experience that what can this creation possibly be. So he seen a buck. So he asked the mother that, is this, because it looks bigger than us, is this what we're supposed to be afraid of? So mother said, no, that you shouldn't be afraid of at all. And the buck actually is like the samosa for the animals, for the lion. I remember we were in the Kruger Park some years back, Hazakim Safa's what. So we were making safar in the Kruger Park, and somebody was looking at a buck. I think Ghaliban Azmut is Zubair Sahib from Durban. So he told us, Zakim Sahib, that this buck is Hiran, is the samosa for the lion. So Hazrat said, you Gujaratis, you can see samosa in everything. You go to Kruger Park also, in a buck you see samosa. So then he thought, no, this can't be possible. So after a while he went, and he seen a buffalo. He said, this is much bigger. Probably this is what we have to be afraid of. So he asked his mother, is this what you're supposed to be afraid of? He said, no, this is also you're not supposed to be afraid of. Then they travel further, and he seen an elephant, and he asked the mother, is this what I must be afraid of? He said, no, not this. So the poor cub was completely confused. And so after a while they walked, and then the mother showed him, this is what you will be afraid of. And he was surprised. 5 foot human being. Looked so tender, looked so small compared to the other animals. Why should I be afraid of this? So then the mother explained that because of the intelligence that Allah Ta'ala has given. Because Allah Ta'ala has made it most superior. And by its intelligence, it will be able to rule. Every animal has a level of intelligence, and it has a certain level of understanding. For example, a dog also has an intelligence. If you hit it once, it travels on a certain pathway, and somebody hit it on that pathway, its intelligence, its logic will tell the dog the next day it mustn't travel on the same road, because it will come to a deduction. It can make deductions, and it will come to the right conclusion. In fact, just to digress slightly, Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has written a story, and he says this happened to his uncle in India. They were living in a rural place, and next to it was a jungle, and the monkeys used to trouble a lot. So life was becoming very, very difficult for them, because every time they cooked, then the monkeys used to come and raid their kitchens, etc. So they thought, now what do we do? One is masail regarding animal cruelty. The other is that they are causing you harm constantly. So they came with a plan that this time you're going to put poison in the roti and leave it for them. And let's see what happens. So they laid out rotis outside the house. And at night, as usual, a troop of monkeys came. But they were also surprised that Dasturkhan laid for them. So not that they are foolish, that normally they have to go into the kitchen and try to open the doors, etc., and try to get through the windows. But here the dasturkhan is laid for them. So they thought twice that no, there's something kuch dal mein kala hai. There's something wrong here. So we have to think about it. So they went close to it, and it, as if then they drew back, as if they were having mashura. They said, no, let's not have it. Let's go and make mashura with our seniors. So they went. And after a while they came with a bigger group of monkeys, but seemed like they were more elder in age. They also found it very, very surprising. And the people, the local people of the village, are looking at this thing happening in front of them. They are peeping from their houses, etc. And they smelled again the roti, they put it down, and then they went again into the jungle. Then they brought the most elderly monkeys that were to be found. And there were about 5 or 6 of them. You could see from their demeanor and their walk and their waqar that these are the elders of the community. And they came. And they smelled and they went back. And after a while, each monkey came with a twig in its hand. And amazing, it found an antidote to the poison. And it was a leaf. And it has leaves on it. It ate of the roti at the same time, it took this immediately. And then they realized that these monkeys has found a way of contrarying, so to say, the poison that was there in this roti. So Hazrat was explaining from that intelligence Allah Ta'ala has given them also. Deduction they also can make. So to a certain extent they have got also intelligence, etc. But Allah Ta'ala has given this insan such a mind that despite being so much smaller in size, Allah Ta'ala has given him khilafat. At the same time, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has basically given him rule. And one other thing is that for our own self-reformation, if a person can make muraqabah every morning, and just understand that Allah has made him khalifa fil ard, just when you wake up in the morning, think about this for a few seconds every day, and see inshallah,
that how it will change and transform your life. That Allah has made me Khalifa fil Ard. Allah has given me a responsibility. And in order to be Khalifa fil Ard, we require sifat. And in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, that imbibe within yourself the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if you take two qualities of the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, al-wadud, most loving, or most merciful, and make that, because now you have to imbibe within yourself the qualities of Allah, now you took two sifat of from the asma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make that, so to say, the focus of your life, maybe for the short period of time, whether it is a week or two, that these two sifat I'm going to bring in my life every day. And occasions will come the whole day to test you, whether you're going to show compassion or not, whether it's with your children, whether it is with a wife, whether it is the neighbors, whether it's the students that you are teaching, the learners that you are teaching, and they're going to test you to the full level. And you keep on these two sifat to make manifest the sifat. Obviously we can't make it manifest to the extent that Allah Ta'ala makes manifest, but because Nabi has mentioned that imbibe within you the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is al-wadud. To get that, to overlook, to show compassion, to show love. You see a beggar, you'll be tested. They will pester you will be tested. Whether you've got this quality of al-wadud in you or not. So to make manifest those qualities. So understand that we are, even if a person can understand every day that I'm Allah's Khalifa fil Ard. What is the responsibility of a Khalifa? How upright should he be in his mannerisms, etc., in his communication with people? What level of kindness he should have? And you just contemplate this for a little while, inshallah, and make niyat. Then inshallah, I'm going to try to keep on to this responsibility that Allah Ta'ala has kept upon of Khalifa fil Ard. جس نے فرمان بداری کی اور حکم بجا لایا اس کو اس کا منصب قائم رہا. And the person that has obeyed Allah and has fulfilled the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has fulfilled this position that Allah ta'ala has given him of Khalifa fil Ard. اور بیشتی ہوا, he will be successful in آخر also. اور جس نے نافرمانی کی اور اس پر قائم رہا. And the person that was disobedient and remained permanent on his disobedience, وہ بے منصب ہوا. He has not fulfilled his responsibility of Khalifa fil Ard. اور الٹے پاؤ دوزخ میں گرا. And he has fallen on his face into Jahannam. So one aspect that Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Ali is bringing to our notice, that understand what a blessing Salat is. And we should make shukr to it, and understand that it is a conglomeration, it is a combination of the ibadat of all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we, inshallah, it will enhance our concentration also. The next time we start, before we start takbir al-tahrima, just quickly make muraqabah. That Allah has given me the opportunity of combining the ibadat of all the remaining creation. And inshallah, your concentration and devotion will increase. اور جاننا چاہے کہ جو کوئی نماز پنجگانہ ادا کرتا ہے. شاہ مشہیر رحمت اللہ علیہ فرد رائٹس that if a person fulfills his five salat daily, اور اس کو ثواب ایسا ملتا ہے جیسا زکاة, حج, روزے, جہاد, he will get the reward by fulfilling his five salat, the reward of زکاة, the reward of حج, the reward of fasting, صوم, and جہاد. So you'll say, in other words, there's another way of looking at it, that the five times salat has got the reward of all the remaining ibadat in it. Because every the gist and the core of every ibadat is found in salat also. For example, to understand this point, کہ اس طرح کے خرچ پانی اور کپڑے کا خدا کی بندگی کے واسطے کرے بجائے زکاة کے. There are few sharait of salat. For example, the body must be parked. For that you require water, whether in terms of wudu or ghusl. The clothes must be covered. In that terms you need clothing for that. For this you require a certain extent of money to spend to wear clothes that covers your sitr or that is appropriate for salat. So by spending on these things you will get the reward of zakat in your salat also. From this Hazrat has mentioned a point that we should all keep in mind, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity and ability, then whatever ibadat we engage in, that we should spend for that as well. And in the beginning of Ramadan, Hazrat mentioned the story about his close friend, and
that before who had the intention of building this masjid, and the lesson that he learned from him, that he used to, whenever he used to go to the Jamia Masjid before this masjid was built, and then he would give Hazrat 20 rand to give for the masjid because the water was utilized, and 20 rand for the muaddin because he called him. And that time 20 rand, we are talking of the 70s or probably early 80s, that 20 rand was like the 200 rand denomination. So from that, if Allah Ta'ala has given us, now a question might come, somebody might think, mashallah, this is lillah money. Somebody has contributed for the lights and water, whether even though it's from the Darul Uloom office, but nevertheless somebody has contributed. So if somebody is lillah money and it's permissible to utilize, somebody else is lillah. But the other question is, when Allah Ta'ala has given us, then why should we use the lillah of somebody else? Although in terms of masla is totally permissible. It's not zakat money that has been contributed here. That the rich cannot take benefit from the zakat money. This is lillah money. So we all can take benefit. But the question should be posed that if somebody else, why should we take benefit from somebody else's lillah money? So whatever little we have while we are staying here, whether we can contribute to the food that is given to us, not that the madrasa requires it, but to teach us that in this we will get a reward of zakat also. That if the lights and water we are utilizing, winter now, the aircon is on, the heater is on, and mashallah at night is tarawih time, is in fact it's cold outside, but here is, you want to go stand at the back where it's so hot. So all this, the electricity that is utilized, to spend for it. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshallah. Therefore even now in the work of Dawud and Tabligh, they encourage we spend time in a masjid for 3 days. Therefore that period of time, give contribution to the masjid, because you utilize the amenities of the masjid for that particular time. So in salat you get the reward of zakat, because there is some level of spending also. Or rukh hona taraf Kaaba ke hajj hai, and facing towards the Kaaba is the reward of hajj, because Kaaba can only be made, or hajj can only be made making tawaf baytullah. There are two basically arkan, two primary principles and fundamentals of hajj, that is Arafat as well as making tawaf of the Kaaba. So in the same way, facing towards the Kaaba in salah, you will get the reward of hajj. Takbir tahrima bajai ihram ke, and making takbir tahrima, like in ihram, when a person puts on his ihram, 6 things that are normally permissible becomes haram for a person. So in the same way, by making takbir tahrima, there are certain things that were halal becomes haram for a person. For example, before there was no harm in talking, that which is fruitful, that is beneficial. But in salat you can't talk, you can't eat, although eating is permissible under normal circumstances. So many things that have become haram through takbir tahrima. So by making takbir tahrima, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the reward of ihram and putting on adorning the ihram. Or mu taraf qibla ke karna bajaye tawaf ke, and facing towards the qibla, you get the reward of making tawaf of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in fact, if you look at it, in tawaf, you are facing a certain direction. And even if other thoughts come, whereas in salah, to a great extent, you have to, in tawaf, you can even speak to a person if it's necessary. It doesn't break your tawaf. You can engage in discussion. Whereas in salah, to an extent, there is greater restrictions than there are in tawaf also. In salah, you cannot speak even if it is a necessity. You cannot speak to a person. In tawaf you can speak, etc. Or kara hona bajaye wukuf e arafat ke, and to stand in salat is like making wukuf and halting in arafat. Or ruku or sujood or rakat e manin dorne darmian safa marwa, and ruku, sajda, and then transferring from one posture to the other is like going between safa and marwa. Or mawkuf karna khana pina bajaye roza, and to stop eating and drinking you get the reward of sawm, because that is what is required in fasting, not to eat and drink. So Allah Ta'ala has given us the reward of all the remaining ibadat in salat. Aur uske sawm band karna nafs ka hai, aur band karne se nafs ki ek saat bhi uske khaish se ek surat sawm ki ho jati hai. Because what does sawm mean? To stop, to refrain. And here in salat, to an extent, Ahmad Shaheed rahmatullah alayhi writes, there is more stopping, refraining and restriction in salat than in sawm. But in sawm, what is required? That you stop from eating, drinking and your carnal desire to fulfill your sexual needs.
That is what is in, what is required in Sawm. Whereas in Salah, to a great extent, not only these three things, but you can't let your mind also wander. Where in, while you are fasting, you can think about business, there's no harm. You don't have any effect on your fast per se. You can think about jais things, there is no problem. But in Salat, you can't even engage in just thoughts unnecessarily or purposefully bring thoughts into your mind. So in a, to one extent, there is greater restriction, there is greater Sawm in Salat than in Sawm itself. Because there is control of the mind also that is required in Sawm, in Salat. اور بند کرنے سے نفس کی ایک ساعت بھی اس کی خواہش سے ایک صورت سوم کی ہو جاتی ہے بلکہ بنسبت روزے کے ایک طور سے زیادہ بند کرنا ہے. So you mentioned this point that in comparison to fasting there is a greater form of restriction in salat than in fasting itself. کہ اس واسطے کے توجہ ظاہری اور باطن طرف غیر کی کرنا نہیں چاہیے. Because in salat outward and inwardly you cannot turn your attention towards anything else besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we understand that the Qibla of the body is the Baytullah, the Kaaba. But the Qibla of the heart is the Zaat of Allah. That's what you should be preoccupied with all the time. And understand that Allah is watching you. And you are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one muraqabah a person can make when standing in front of Salah. The hadith of Jibreel, كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. As if you are worship, you are seeing Allah. فَإِلَّمْ تَكُنْ تَرَى فَإِنَّهُ يَرَى. That if you are not seeing Allah, then minimum have this thought that Allah is watching you. So either that you make muraqabah, that you have presented yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that Allah ta'ala is watching you and you are standing here in order to fulfill your needs and to take from the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat is a way of connecting you directly to the treasury of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Our greatest need, Allah Ta'ala has made it wajib. Why Allah has made it wajib? To show that He wants to give you. You only insist on a person making the request to a person to you if you are sure to give the person. Otherwise, why tell him to make the request to me? And I make it compulsory that you request from me in order to bestow the person. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, so we have presented ourselves in front of Salah, in front of Allah, to take the greatest need that man requires for his sojourn and his travel in dunya, that is hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala, He has made it compulsory for us to come. So zahiri aur batini taraf ghair ki karna nahi chahiye. Outwardly as well as inwardly, we should not turn towards anything else. Yes, we all understand this, but we should pose a question to ourselves. That if a person, immediately we'll correct him, if he's performing salat and he's facing another direction. Why the Qibla is the side he must face? So that we are all conscious and we know salat is not made without him facing towards the Qibla. And purposefully facing a direction other than the Qibla, your salat is not made. Because the faraiz of salat. There's a different masla if a person doesn't know the direction and he makes tahari and he ponders and to the best of his ability he comes to a certain conclusion and he faces that direction, even if he's wrong, his salat will be made. There's a different question. But we are so conscious about facing our outward towards the Qibla. In the same way, we should be conscious of facing our inward towards its Qibla, that is the Zaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That our mind should be preoccupied with the alfaz of the Quran al-Kareem, what has been read, and to ponder regarding its meaning, etc. اور دفع کرنا شیطان کا اور مشقت میں دانا نفس کا اس کی سنتوں کے اوقات میں نماز اس کے واسطے جہاد ہے. And we mentioned that Salat has got the reward of jihad also. And definitely has. In jihad is mujahada, difficulty a person experiences, etc. In the whole Salat, there is attack all the time in Salat. There isn't a moment in Salat where there isn't an attack. Shaitan and the thoughts, and in the hadith we understand that Allah has appointed special shayateen to bring thoughts in your Salat. Therefore the question always comes that how come outside Salat we're not thinking? While we're sitting and waiting for Salat, no thought is coming. We're not gone back to the 70s and the 60s, our school days, etc. While we're sitting there. But just when Allahu Akbar come and mashallah, the whole manzar of our classroom comes. Amazing. 2 seconds before that you didn't think about it. It comes. So we know there is an external factor that is evolving and taking part in this whole activity. That how is it possible logically that 2 seconds ago we were not thinking? And from the hadith we understand the solution. That there is special shayateen appointed to cause difficulty. So there will be mujahada all the time, and you know that. Between these lessons, mashallah, everybody in their own way is trying to get level of concentration in his salat. And how difficult it is. Just few seconds, 5 seconds, and the thought just comes. 10 seconds, and the thought just comes. And you dispel it, and you're thinking about the subject matter. Even those that are ulama-i kiram and hufaz, and they know what the imam is reading, and they understand the next ayat, but then to their mind goes away. And even in Surah Yusuf, we've been listening to the Imam Sahib, and mashallah, we listened to half the story of Yusuf. Then, but where our mind went, we don't even know whether Zulaikha was male or female afterward. Because our mind is gone somewhere else. Mashallah, we said Surah Yusuf is concentrated, mashallah, tartiban the holds from Yusuf alayhi salam's young days. And but where our mind went in Surah Yusuf the last 2 nights? Only thinking, Uma ubarri wa nafsi. That's all we can say. We tried our best, to the best of our ability, we got lost in the whole story. We also can say what Yusuf alayhi salam said, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. So there is constant mujahada, constant jihad in. Then we can understand the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رَجَعْنَا مِنْ جِهَادِ الْأَصْغَرِ إِلَى جِهَادِ الْأَكْبَرِ. We are returning from a smaller jihad to a bigger jihad when they were returning from war itself, when they're going back to Medina. Because staying there, there will be attack all the time. If it's not from the enemy, it's going to be from shaitan all the time. Our nafs all the time. And even in Ramadan Mubarak, we've seen that although the shayateen are jailed and are imprisoned and are put in chains, but our nafs is there. And inna aada aduwik an-nafsuka allati bayna jambayk. Your worst enemy is your nafs that is between you. Nafs is the thing that led shaitan astray. So he's a bigger enemy than shaitan. Because the question comes, what makes shaitan go astray? It is his nafs. So our nafs is with us. So this mujahada all the time in salah. Lekin namaz mein dil ki huduri, dil ki shart hai. Whereas on the other hand, if we look that the presence of heart in salah is a precondition. And we mentioned that, and we'll repeat that, what Mujaddid Millat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, that hudur e kalb, although it is not a shart for the sihat of salat, but Hazrat mentions it is a shart for the kubuliyat of salat. Your salat will be made, irrespective whether you have presence of mind or not. That we will say that the responsibility is off your head, you have fulfilled your obligation. But the reward of salat is depending on the level of concentration. And if you look, even in our salat, each one will come from his house. The same amount of time he will utilize in the masjid. Just think about it. You and your neighbor left at the same time. And you came to the masjid and you spent the same amount of time. But each one will go with a different level of reward. Depending on what level of concentration he had. Probably they read the same amount of rakats outwardly. And they spent the same amount of time in qawma and ruku and sajda. But the reward will be completely different. In the hadith, we understand this. That کہ بدون کے اسے نماز پوری نہیں لکھی جاتی بلکہ کبھی آدھی کبھی تیاہی یا چوتائی یا پانچواں حصہ یا چھٹا یا ساتواں یا آٹھواں یا نواں یا دسواں. A person at times will get half the reward of his salat, at times even less, a third, at times a quarter, at times a fifth, at times a sixth, at times a seventh, at times a ninth, a tenth and ninth reward, eighth, ninth and tenth reward. So each one will go back differently. How you have placed open your basket, that is how you will receive from salah. Ke har rukun namaz mein itna thehre ke koi lahza huzuri muyassar ho. So here again he's coming to this point. This is very, very important for us. That what is this concentration and devotion? He's giving the gist again. That at least in every posture, once your connection with Allah should be there. At least once. So purposefully bring this thought in your mind. Even though it is difficult, but at least once in every posture, I should think that my Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me. Hudur e qalb. Ke har rukun namaz mein itna thehre ke koi lahad huduri muyassar ho. Aur huduri kai tarah par hai. And this presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this heart being present can be done in different ways. So we say this hudur e kalb, the presence of the heart. We say khushu and khudu. In practical terms, what is it? When we're saying that you must think of Allah, you must be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shah Ahmad Shaheer rahmatullahi alayhi writes, ek ye ke mazmoon har rukun ka khiyal kare. So one hudur e kalb is that the subject matter of every posture of salah, to think about it. One is alhamdulillah, if you can just concentrate lightly on the alfaz of the Quran al-Kareem or whatever has been recited or the tasbihat, just the primary meaning of it will be termed as huzur al-qalb, that you are concentrating on it. Surah Fatiha at least. So therefore it is imperative that those surahs that we read regularly in Salat, and as we mentioned, we have got all our reserve surahs patented in our name, that these are our four surahs. Sometimes before even one of Dali is complete, we started the surah already. It's just like an automatic reaction. So manamam, at least to know its meaning, so you lightly think about it. So ki ye mazmoon har rukun ka khayal kare. That is one. This is called hudur e kalb. That to think about the subject matter that you are reciting. The second is aur aapko samne apne rab ki jaane. At the same time to think that you are in front of Allah. While you are in front in salat, that you think about the subject matter lightly and you just have this thought in the back of your mind or in the fore of your mind in this case, that I am standing in front of Allah. And thirdly, a person or uskut mutawajjih hal apne ka samjhe. At the same time to understand that Allah's total attention is towards you. Now imagine, this is something very, very serious and very deep if we have to really think about it. My Allah's total mercies, my Allah's total attention is towards me now in salat. And think about it. And we move our mind away from Allah. Whereas Allah's attention is towards us. Imagine if you're sitting next to your wife and you're praising her the most beautiful praises, and that she means everything to you, and you're like, you know, we learn all those things on the cards, two bodies and one heart and all those type of things, and you're saying all this and her mind is somewhere else, she's thinking of somebody else, let's not even say who. You don't want to gouge her eyes out of her brains. Then how is it when I am Allah Ta'ala's total attention is towards a person. Total attention. We will not accept. Our ghairat will not accept that I am praising my wife and praising her beauty and what she means to me, and her attention is somewhere else. When Allah Ta'ala's attention is totally towards us, then how can we purposely turn our attention to something else? So just have this thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawajjuh and Allah Ta'ala aur usko mutawajjih haal apne ka samjhe. Then the next point he has mentioned as far as huzur kalb, aur jaun si surat parne mazmoon usi surat ka khayal kare. And whatever subject matter is being spoken about, whatever surat is being read, just think about the subject matter in the surah. Surah Fil, understand the power of Allah. For example, we read Surah Alam Tara quite often. So just read, contemplate the power of Allah, the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Fatiha, that's why if you can learn Surah Fatiha while we are here, mashallah. Before even our chilla is completed, our 30 days is complete, at least Surah Fatiha, the mazmoon of Surah Fatiha, to understand. Aur agar maqam itab aur gussa ka hai, khauf kare aur pana chahe. And it is a place of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then purposefully bring the fear within yourself. And as I say, unfortunately today, even our manner of reciting Quran al-Kareem, we haven't understood the mazmoon. The ayahs of Jahannam we read in such a sweet voice. Whereas the real taqaza of the Quran al-Kareem is that the ayahs of Jahannam is to place awe in our hearts. And Allah Ta'ala has purposefully used such letters. For example, Al-Qari'ah, Mal-Qari'ah, Ida Zulzilatil Ardu Zilzalaha, Ida Waqa'atil Waqi'ah. All these words also, in terms from a tajweed perspective also, the words of shiddat has been utilized to express the awe and the majesty and the grandeur and the fear of the day of Qiyamah. So as he says, that the taqaza of the Qur'an al-Kareem is to read it according to the requirement of the Qur'an al-Kareem. I will read it, so Ida Waqa'atil Waqi'ah. That is not the taqaza of the Quran al-Kareem. Allah utilizes the words of the huruf of shiddat in this so that we express it, and it's a sense of awe comes within us. That is an imam that understood the Quran al-Kareem. To read it according to the taqaza of the Quran al-Kareem.
So that those places of itab and anger of Allah, then even if it means to force yourself and to seek from the depth of your heart, Allah save you, Allah save you, Allah save you. اور جو مقام رحمت اور عنایت کا ہے اس کو خدا سے طلب کرے. And those places where Allah discusses Jannat and Allah Ta'ala's bounties, ask Allah Ta'ala from the depth of your heart, oh Allah grant me this. Now you're reading Surah Rahman, Allah discussing Jannat, etc. And you're reading all the surahs where Allah Ta'ala discusses Jannat, then ask from the bottom of your heart, oh Allah grant me this. And mashallah, even if you don't understand Arabic, you know the word Jannat, you know the word Jahannam. You hear the Imam reading Jannat, at least that will improve your concentration and listen to the word Jannat. When the word Jannat comes, I will ask Allah from the depth of my heart. You don't have to verbally articulate anything, it's just a desire from within the heart that you have. اور سوا اس کے اور بھی مؤثر اور تاثیر دل کے بدون دانش من معانی الفاظ کے حاصل نہیں. Thus also he has mentioned that it is very very difficult truly to get presence of heart when you don't understand the meaning. Because how long can you keep control? For example, we see that every day in Tarawih Salah, that if you don't understand the meaning, how long can we keep attention towards the recitation of the Quran al-Karim? For a while we'll make mujahada and make mujahada, but then we get lost because there's no subject matter to think about. And the mind is always like that. There is never a vacuum in the mind. It has to be flirting from one thought to the other. So this is one that while we are here, Hazrat explains that Miftahul Quran, Hazrat's mashura is that those are not ulama-i kiram, etc., get a copy of the Miftahul Quran and start learning the basic alfaz and the words of Salat first and foremost, of Ruku, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Sami Allahu liman hamida, Allahumma Rabbana lakal hamd. What does it mean? And then in Miftahul Quran, there is basic surahs also, Surah Fatiha and few surahs. What does it mean? So we concentrate on the meaning, and inshallah through that we'll have presence of heart. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah.